deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. During the first hour, I interviewed a fascinating gentleman named Dr. Angel Fernandez about Mount Shasta. And during the second hour, I'll be interviewing Billy Fay Woodard and his father, Zora, from the Hollow Earth. This should be truly an amazing and interesting interview, and I hope you can all listen. But before we go to my guests, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support of this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your help and support, because I know together we'll create a much better and happier world. I wanted to tell you all that next month on September 15th, I'll be having Malcolm Carter, the producer of the wonderful film The Connected Universe, on, who I hope will be joined by Nassim Harriman, one of the world's most famous and fascinating physicists. So that'll be an interesting show. I hope you can listen. Today's show will be, again, on Mount Shasta, Talos, and the Hollow Earth, because from September 7th to the 12th, I'll be sponsoring a trip to Mount Shasta area, and I hope you can all come. If you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339, or on my cell at area code 509-750-9793. Among the people we'll be meeting is Diane Robbins, who's written many books on Telos and visited the Hollow Earth many times. Her website is www.dianerobbins.com. In addition, Mitch Kohayashi will be giving a presentation on the wonderful messages from water at the Mount Shasta Library from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. She'll also be giving a special water ceremony for healing of the earth at 5 p.m. That day at the Mount Shasta Water Springs. And there will also be four or five different psychics joining us on this special trip to Mount Shasta, including Lee Kerr from Melbourne, Australia, whose specialty is to connect with the Yowie or Sasquatch in Australia. There's numerous Sasquatch around the Mount Shasta area, so it should be truly out of this world. With that, what I'd love to do is connect now with my good friends, Billy Fay Woodard and his father, Zora, who's coming to us today from Sparks, Nevada. Billy, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, good. Billy and Jane, it's so good to have you on today.
Okay.
Billy, could you tell my listeners a little bit about your background, about how you got here, how you're not from here, and how your family's in the Hollow Earth, for those who don't know your background?
Well, back in 1951, or shortly before that, I was in Hollow Earth and with my sister, and we were climbing a mountain, and my father appeared off to the side of us and asked us if we would like to go on a journey, on a mission, actually, to the surface of the earth. And, of course, we jumped at the chance to do it. And, yes, we agreed. So we were taken to a facility in the city of Eden. And we were put in these devices that shrank our stature. We were about 13 foot. And we were shrunk down to the size of toddlers, earth toddlers.
Wow.
And of course, our memory was wiped to a certain point. And so we somewhat fit in up here. And we were then transported via elusive aeroship to Wichita Falls, Texas, when we came out to the North Polar opening and traversed the Canada and the continental United States down to Texas. Well, we were deposited on the Earth's surface, and we were put in a trap on top of the garbage of a trash receptacle, mm-hmm. and in a city park in Wichita Falls, Texas. And the ship that brought us there, of course, remained until we were discovered by the city park maintenance worker and a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taken from there to and taken to a county of Wichita, an orphanage. And there we remained for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, we were adopted into a military Air Force family.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, back then, the Air Force would pay extra for every additional child that you had
mm-hmm.
in your family.
Sure.
So when we were adopted more of an asset rather than actually loved children.
Mm, it's too bad.
Yeah, it was too bad. But so we were adopted into this Air Force family. And that's how I came to be on the surface of the earth.
Wow.
Along with my sister, my twin sister,
mm-hmm.
Zariah. And so Zariah remained with me until we reached what would be considered the age of 9, at which time we were separated.
Mm-hmm.
She was given to another Air Force family. Actually, she was sold to another Air Force family. And so I remained with the Woodard. And, of course, that's when my, I guess what would be termed, my hell on earth began.
Mm-hmm.
Through abuse and things of this nature. Which I won't go into because it's not important.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you.
I know. So, I went through this suffering, and was victim of a pedophile and abuser and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, my goodness.
Yes, I also had several gifts, also, such as telepathy. Able to speak with animals,
mm-hmm.
Just like you would be talking to your neighbor or whatever. Me and my sister had the ability to communicate telepathically with the animal kingdom.
Well,
and which we did quite frequently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't talk the English language for at least 6 months, a little mm-hmm. over 6 months,
mm-hmm.
Mainly because we didn't trust the people that we were with,
mm-hmm.
The orphanage and all this. And we, frankly, we didn't have anything to say, so we didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
But we did talk to each other through telepathy and communicating with our minds. And it wasn't until after a good while that we finally did start talking. It was because we learned how to talk by watching a black and white TV and listening to the radio in the quarantine room, which is located in the attic of the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
So we were under quarantine for a period of time
mm-hmm.
before being able to join the general population.
Mm-hmm. Well, my goodness, it sounds like it was a rough road for you.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But I survived.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I realize now that I had to go through that in mm-hmm. order to be, to fit in, basically, to the, the surface, ways of the surface.
Sure, sure.
Which I did survive.
Uh-huh.
But But of course, I was I was also at the age of 10, my adopted father, to avoid prosecution, had the ovaries and uterus removed, and I was sealed up.
Mm-hmm.
The vaginal cavity was sealed up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of what took place.
Sure, sure.
But moving forward from there,
right?
I was taken from the Woodard family after he was arrested and sent to Arizona to a Apache reservation where I remained for a while. And then I was sent to Smyrna, Tennessee. We moved to Smyrna, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
where I stayed until I graduated high school
mm-hmm.
at the age of 12.
My goodness.
Back then, the high school curriculum was simple. It was adding, subtraction, multiplication, division.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like nowadays, where they have trigonometry and algebra and all these others, all these different ways to do a simple problem.
mm-hmm. Wow.
So I have to go undergo all that. But mm-hmm. at that time, of course, it was quite simple. Mathematics, and then also your geography, English, and all sort of stuff. So I graduated high school basically by mistake. But what happened with that was I went to my adopted brother's school to wait for him, and I was in the classroom in the back of the room.
Mm-hmm.
They had brought a whole bunch of papers and dropped them on my desk. I looked at them. I knew the answers, so I answered them.
Wow, amazing.
And it was the final exam. Moving forward from there, I graduated high school. And after that, I went and got a job at the Ben Franklin Five and Dime.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was 5'7". My body was female.
Mm-hmm.
And the measurements and all that were definitely female,
mm-hmm.
and long hair and shape of body. But and then one day while I was on my break, I went walked next door, and there was an induction recruiting station there. And I walked in and said I was interested in going into the service. So they gave me a battery of tests, which I took, and passed those with flying colors.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when they discovered that I was only 12, it was kind of perplexing to them, because the Army wouldn't touch me, the Marines wouldn't touch me, the Navy wouldn't touch me, and the Air Force said, "We want you."
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
So I had to wait a couple years before I went in. With the permission of my adopted father
mm-hmm.
and mother. And so then I went into basic training at Lackland.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I went to the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the Pentagon, I went to Area 51.
Oh, yes. Interesting. That's an interesting place. Now, you were the base commander there, Billy?
I was.
My goodness.
I advanced in rank very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that I had left basic because of my test scores,
mm-hmm.
I had qualified to be an officer.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left basic training, I was a second lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to the Pentagon, as soon as I walked in the door, they handed me my first lieutenant cards.
Wow.
And I said, "Wait a minute, don't I have to go before a board to get these bars?"
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "No." And so I accepted that, went on with my duty station there.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after I was there, these plainclothesmen walked in with a general, and they handed the a box to the general and said, "Do it." And he walked over to me and said, "This is highly irregular. This is not the way the military does things, but under your direction, I will do as you say." He called my name. I snapped to attention. He walked over. He took off my first lieutenant bars and stamped on full bird colonel on my shoulders.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I'm going, this is unheard of. I'm supposed to go before a board of officers and answer several questions before I'm allowed to, you know, build my rank up. And they said, no, we say it goes. And that's what happened. So I was a full bird colonel, and I was sent to Area 51.
My goodness. My goodness.
So I got to Area 51. When we got to the facility, we got off the aircraft. We took off from McCarran Airport, Airport in Las Vegas. We lifted off around 7 in the morning, and when we arrived at Area 51, it was pitch black. Mm-hmm. I got off the plane, and I didn't see nothing. I didn't see anything at all, except a staff car waiting for me. And I looked up. I didn't see any stars. I said, this is highly irregular. Why is it dark? And they said, you're inside a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, okay. So I didn't question it. I just got in the staff car as directed, and the car took off. Just dropped down at a 45-degree angle for about a mile. Stopped. I got out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, go in that building, take off all your clothes, take everything off. All the way down to your birthday suit,
mm-hmm.
which I did. I complied, and I stepped into this room, and this mist came over me, dropped down on top of me. Decontamination. I went through 3 of those before getting to the final station for being assigned. Once they got there, they separated me from the rest of the group, and I walked into this room. The gentleman was sitting in a chair, and he was shaking all over. He was trembling all over. And I looked at him, and I said, who is this? Hmm. This is the one you're replacing. And he stood up. I said, I'm here to relieve you. He said, I stand relieved. And he said, why are you shaking? Why are you so nervous? He said, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was escorted under armed guard by 2 MPs, air police actually, from the facility into the elevator.
My goodness. Wow.
So he had lost it.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty much. And so then I was I was sent to my office. I escorted it into my office. I sit down, and there's stacks and stacks of files on my desk. And the first one I reached up and grabbed was the file for Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the file, and I read the diary, flight log, and I knew what was going on.
Wow, so, amazing.
And I memorized the longitude and latitude of the opening, the North Polar opening, put it into memory,
mm-hmm.
and went about my business.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got called down to take the elevator down to the lower level, 27th level. I got off the 27th level. I walked up to a one-star general, and he said, "You've been called here by name by these two beings, and we don't know why." And I said, "Well, who are we talking about?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Them." And he was pointing up in the upward above my stature.
Uh-huh.
And there's two people standing there, one male, one female, extremely tall,
mm-hmm.
very, very tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they had turquoise skin. And so I walked up to them and I said, I heard that you call me by name. Well, what do you want?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "You're going on a journey."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh, all right." I turned back to my superior. He said, "Take note of everything you see and hear. You will be debriefed on your return." And I walked into this bullet-shaped craft, sat down in one of the seats, and the door very silently closed. And the object began to move.
Mm-hmm.
It was going down a tunnel, and the sides of the tunnels looked like marble.
Mm-hmm.
But they were also lit up.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "You're going to the city of Telos, beneath Mount Shasta, California."
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, so they said, "It won't take long to get there." And I said, "Okay." So I sat down, and this thing started moving. When it started moving at a very rapid rate. Ahead of me, I could see the tunnel, the sides of the tunnel coming up to the path, but as they would pass by, it looked like a blur.
Uh-huh. mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, we were slowing down,
mm-hmm.
pulling into a station. I step out of the station. I'm greeted with this person who is tall, he wasn't all that tall. He was about 6 foot,
mm-hmm.
well, 7 foot. 7 foot, six, 7 foot, seven. His name was Adama.
Really? My goodness.
So I met with him.
Uh-huh.
I met a woman that was getting onto the shuttle, and her name was Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know her now as Sharuda Dux.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I met with her, and I asked her where she was going. She said, "I'm going to the Pacific." All right.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
We talked briefly, and she got onto the shuttle, and she was gone.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I stepped on the platform. I'm greeted with Adama,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here to take you on a tour.
Wow, wow.
And he did.
Hmm.
So that's a brief synopsis is how I came to be on the surface.
My goodness. Now, I know you channel your father, and today's show...
Not like a channel as you know it to be a channel.
Right, okay.
We what we do is we switch places.
Okay.
I step into his body, he steps into mine.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to do today is both share the time with both you and your wonderful father.
Yes.
And if you could, if he's not busy, would you mind bringing him on now? And I'd love to ask him some questions.
I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Billy, so much.
Absolutely. Before I do, though, I want to mention also that
mm-hmm.
We have a lady that builds and puts together Lemurian crystal headbands.
Beautiful.
And you can go to our site. You can order them right off the site. Also, Diane Robbins' site is www.DIANNE Robbins, RBBINS.com.
Good. Good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to mention that, too. I mentioned that before. Good. Diane's a good lady, and I'm glad you mentioned that.
Our website, if mm-hmm. you want to go to our website, is www.zoraofhollowearth.com.
And Zora is spelled Z-O-R-R-A of hollowearth.com?
Yes.
Okay, great. Wonderful, so, Billy. Thank you.
Bye-bye, because I'm going to allow my father to come forth.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
You'll be hearing his voice next.
Okay. Thank you, Billy. I really appreciate it coming on the show today. Thank you so much.
Indeed, beloved master.
Zora, it's always good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'd be wonderful. And how be you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's always a real pleasure to talk to you.
Indeed.
You know, one thing I like about you, Zora, is that you always treat me and when I have you on and other people with great respect, and I really appreciate that on the show.
Indeed. Well, that is the only way to have is respect.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Indeed.
So I always love to ask you about what you see happening in the world and what do you see for the future of humanity on this planet. I know the vibrations have been rising on the surface.
Of course they have. Mm-hmm. You recently had what is termed as an eclipse.
Yes.
And since that time, the vibrations are rising rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And also there has been much changes in your DNA code. And many people's DNA are now being activated. So there are many people who are having very interesting experiences, such as seeing visions and what is termed as different abilities rising to the surface, such as clairvoyance. Such as able to speak with telepathy to their beloved wife or their mm-hmm. beloved husband
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So these gifts are surfacing even now with many people since the end of the called the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
But this was foretold that it would happen. And it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the energies that are rising more and more are going to be awakening those that have been asleep.
Mm, wonderful.
And so many people, you'll discover that many people who were not awake
mm-hmm.
are now fully awake. And many of those who are on the fence have simply stepped off the fence.
Wow.
And moving toward the light.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a wondrous, glorious thing also. And there have been many, there has been messengers beside myself and beside Ramtha mm-hmm. that have also been messengers or ambassadors, if you will,
mm-hmm.
from the inner earth and Agartan ambassadors, as you term them.
Mm-hmm.
And your prior guest that you had on.
Yes.
The doctor.
Dr. Fernandez, yes.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what he said, his experience that he said, was some of it was spot on, but some of it was not either.
I see.
So I know you are going to ask me questions regarding him, and I am expecting the questions to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
ask away.
Well, let me ask you this: in the inner earth, Zora, is time? Does time move at a different rate than here on the surface?
There is no time.
I see.
Time is an illusion, even on the surface. Mm-hmm. It is just your, what you call your, the passing of the days, such as night and day, where you denote your time. But time is an illusion. Mm-hmm. Time is a no thing.
Interesting.
So, is it different in Hollow Earth? Of course, it's mm-hmm. different. But there is no, what you term, you do not have a clock on your wrist telling you what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is not needed. Mm-hmm. So, yes, time does pass differently in the Hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There is no darkness at all. None.
Oh, really? So that there's continually, the days are just...
Continual subtropical light.
My goodness. My goodness. Wow. Wow.
Yes. And so, and also, in people in Hollow Earth do not eat meat at all.
Mm-hmm.
No way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
There is what is called a plant, known as a mimic plant,
mm-hmm.
that is consumed
mm-hmm.
in Hollow Earth, which can take on the characteristics of steak or beef.
Wow, amazing.
Or what is termed turkey,
mm-hmm.
or what is termed chicken,
mm.
or what is termed fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not meat.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
But it's called the mimic plant.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few areas upon the surface of the world where this plant can be found.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The if I may ask, I've heard this answer before, but for my listeners, I wanted to ask this question, Zora.
Indeed.
Why is there a prohibition? Why do people in Telos not eat meat of the inner earth? Why do they not eat meat?
Because they do not want it.
I see.
It is not good for them,
mm-hmm.
and they know it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And you should also know that also.
Yes.
It is not good for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It clogs up your arteries,
mm-hmm.
and it does what is termed as it brings, administers poison into your system.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not good for you, so therefore you do not eat it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Why would you want to eat your brother or sister?
Ah, good question. Good question. The other thing, too, is, you know, for cows and chickens, for example, and even fish, too, when they're killed, they're often killed in a state of terror.
Of course.
And so...
And you also take on that terror that they have experienced.
Ah, good point. Good point.
So... Understand, when I tell you to eat from your own district or from your own region,
mm-hmm.
the vegetarian products that you eat, you want to eat it from your own region.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you are on the Pacific coast, you eat foods from your Pacific coast region.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're in the mountain time zone, you eat from the food of the mountain time zone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And likewise, the eastern, and what is called the Atlantic, or what is termed the Pacific, or what is termed the Alaskan, or what is termed the Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
So you eat foods from your own region. Do not partake of food from another region. Because, understand, when you partake from the food that you have, that you consume from, say, you are from the East Coast and you consume foods from the West Coast, you are consuming the attitude of the people that were putting the packaging together. So,
oh, interesting.
They could have been having an extremely horrible day.
I see.
And you have partaken of that.
There was a story on the news here a few months ago about how a Chinese company was shipping rodent parts and labeling it as boneless chicken, and people were eating it here. So if you ate one of those rodents labeled as chicken, you would have been consuming the attitudes of China, which is, of course, not a country with any freedom.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And also the terror of the creature that was slaughtered.
Sure. Right. Exactly. So exactly.
When you partake of foods out of your region, it is not right for your metabolism.
Interesting.
And, of course, eating meat is not good for your metabolism wherever you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when it comes to the fowl, when it comes to the fish, seafoods, and things of this nature, it is the same. You do not mm-hmm. want to partake of them because mm-hmm. you are eating your relatives.
Because we are, in fact, all one, aren't we?
You are indeed.
Mm-hmm.
You are part of the cetacean nation.
Mm-hmm.
You are part of the fowl.
Mm-hmm.
You are part of the beasts of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You are the birds of the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you are all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
All one. You understand your nervous system is the same as a plant. So, if you look at your nervous system, it looks like a root system.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the root system of a tree, of course, it is a root.
True. Interesting.
And it looks similar to your metabolism,
mm-hmm.
or to your basic, it's called your system. Within your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, in a sense, it is a root system also.
Wow.
And you have, when you contract diseases such as cancer is a parasite. It is what is termed as, it would be liking it to what is called mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
Or what is called holly,
mm-hmm.
that grows on trees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cancer, the purest form of cancer, is known as gall.
Mm.
And gall you find on the bark of oak trees.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
So when you burn oak wood in your fireplaces,
mm-hmm.
you are consuming the airborne spores of cancer.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
When you have a fireplace,
mm-hmm.
or you have what is called a campfire, your what's called your ancestors, they would consume the airborne spores of the cancer into their bodies.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And it went into their genes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But When doctors say that you have what is called the cancer cell in your body, you do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a catalyst that activates it and brings it to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that one of those catalysts is called tobacco.
Ah, okay.
And also, gall is also indigenous to the tobacco plant. As well as the gall on an oak tree. So if you're going to burn wood from an oak tree, you want to strip the bark from the tree and burn the wood accordingly. But do not burn the bark, because the bark is the one that has the gall, the parasite, living on it.
Wow, interesting.
So, and to kill cancer, you must kill it with an herbicide.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take what is a clinical cure for your cancer would be clinical iodine.
Mm-hmm.
You simply do what is done. You take a syringe, and you take about 1 to 2 cc's of clinical iodine, inject it into a parent tumor of cancer, mm-hmm. and it will kill the cancer from the inside out in a matter of seconds.
Wow, amazing. That's amazing.
You can also use what is termed as another cure for the cancer is also what is called baking soda.
Oh, right.
That's another one.
Right.
And then you also have the organ accumulator, which is a device that eliminates cancer by eliminating the frequency of the cancer with the organ.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
So there are several ways to kill cancer, and there are several cures for the cancer.
Zora, I want to ask you this question, if I may. I remember.
You may indeed.
Thank you. Thank you. It was either you, I think, or Billy telling me several months ago that the water in Mount Shasta at the springs in downtown Mount Shasta actually is water from Telos, and it contains an anti-cancer agent.
It does, indeed.
Okay, good.
And also, you understand, the waters that come from Hollow Earth are channeled through the rock, through the crust of the earth, up to the to Telos. Mm-hmm. And then from Telos, it is channeled outward from Telos into the mountain stream that empties out into the city park at Mount Shasta City.
Beautiful.
And so it is channeled outward from there into the Sacramento River.
Beautiful.
So the healing properties of Mount Shasta are also present in the Sacramento River.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But the origin of it, what you term the headwaters, mm-hmm. are right there at the Mount Shasta City Park.
I know exactly where it is, and actually I'll be there in about 2 weeks. But it's a beautiful area,
and that indeed it is.
And that water, when you taste it, Zora, is very sweet.
It is.
It's very,
and
very
it's
sweet.
Very healing, mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
But if you have illness when you partake of the water, mm-hmm. you will not be ill after partaking of the water.
Beautiful.
Because it is a healing water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's such a gift you just gave all my listeners around the world. Thank you, Zora. That's just so very, very profound.
Indeed. Now, go ahead and ask more questions.
Yes.
Especially the questions that I want you to ask are the ones mm-hmm. that pertain to your last speaker.
All right. Real quick before I forget, I just want to devote about a minute to this, is the difference between the heart mind and the logical mind. Remember, you've said before to always follow your heart mind.
Indeed.
Okay.
Understand, beloved master, your heart is not located in between your ears.
Mm-hmm.
The organ that is located between your ears is what is called as a vault of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain and simple. All of your thinking, processing mind is in your chest of your body,
mm-hmm.
your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is your thinking, processing mind.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And your knowledge, your memories, and all of this
mm-hmm.
are in what is termed as the vault of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
in between your ears. It's the skull of your body, of your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a vault of knowledge. That is where all of your memories, all of your, what is called your knowledge, mm-hmm. of your learning that you have learned through mm-hmm. the years of time are in that vault of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a thinking, processing mind. Mm-hmm. That is in your chest.
I see. I see. Beautiful, beautiful. We've got, as far as time goes, we've got about 10 minutes left, Zora. And I wanted you, if you'd like to make some comments, if you'd like to elucidate some of your comments on my first hour speaker, if you could. I think that'd be useful. He talked about how they communicate telepathically, for example.
That is true. They do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Do you think we will become on the surface here, Zora, that way as well? We will communicate eventually?
Understand, beloved master, you have that ability even now.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
But you're so caught up in what is termed mundane things, mm-hmm. or what is called your so-called higher education, your so-called religion, that mm-hmm. you are so blinded mm-hmm. by them mm-hmm. that you do not take the time to become quiet, to become focused, mm-hmm. to become what is called one with nature.
Mm-hmm.
When you become one with nature, your ability of telepathy will come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
The process to learn telepathy is a threefold process.
Mm-hmm.
The first part is to go out into Mother Nature, find yourself a wonderful tree, put your back against the tree, and your bare feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You become grounded. When you become grounded, you become grounded with the tree.
Mm.
And you can communicate with the tree as well. What you do is you leave your cell phone at home, leave your communication devices such as your iPads and your computers
mm-hmm.
at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go out into Mother Nature. Put your back against the tree, your feet flat on the ground, communicate with the tree. Once you have mastered communicating with a tree with your mind, then you can graduate to the animal kingdom.
Beautiful.
And that would be your bird and your squirrel and your badgers and your mountain lion and your tigers and your bears
mm-hmm.
and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have mastered that, then you can go into the more complicated parts of life, such as man.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, first you must become one with Mother Nature. Then you become one that I'm speaking with the trees and with your plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become one with your animal kingdom, your wild animals,
mm-hmm.
your domesticated animals,
mm-hmm.
your pets.
Mm-hmm.
Your pets would be a good example.
Okay.
Learn to communicate telepathically with your cat,
mm-hmm.
with your dog, with your parakeet,
sure.
with your parrot,
mm-hmm.
with your ferret, with your chipmunks, with your squirrels, with your what is called your guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
All of these creatures have the capacity of communication mm-hmm. with telepathy.
Beautiful.
And you can connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is, once you have gained that focus and that straight laser point focus,
mm-hmm.
then you can go and you can attempt to communicate with your brother and sister,
mm.
or your husband, or your wife,
mm-hmm.
or your friend.
Sure.
But first, you must first master communicating with a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have mastered that, when you hear the voice of the tree,
mm-hmm.
then you have accomplished a great feat. Then you can communicate with the animal. Once you have communicated with the animals on a fluid basis, this will take a little bit of what you call earth time
mm-hmm.
to achieve.
Sure.
But once you have done it, and know you have done it,
mm-hmm.
you will know when. Then you can attempt the communications with your beloved mate. And likewise, your friends and your neighbors and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Such good advice, Zora. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Indeed.
One of the things Dr. Fernandez mentioned is that the people from Telos actually come up to the surface and they do interact with us. I was curious, you're from the Hollow Earth, or the Inner Earth. Is that true? Do they come up here to the surface?
They do indeed.
Okay.
Back during what is termed the 60s and the early 70s,
mm-hmm.
you had a time what you call the flower children.
Right.
Or what you call the hippies, you term them.
Right.
So they were able to blend in with them with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But way before that, they were deemed as what was called witches or soothsayers or things of this nature, and they were stoned and ridiculed and things of this nature. So they went underground and remained there for a period of time. And then they began to come out again.
Mm-hmm.
They came out in the 30s, in the 40s,
mm-hmm.
and communicated with the population of the city of Shasta.
Right.
They exchanged their goods with gold.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was a time when it was more simpler.
Right.
And, of course, nowadays you have your modern peoples that come out less frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the fear of being exposed.
Sure.
Or the fear of being exploited, whatever. But, yes, they do come to the surface. And the Agathans also come to the surface also.
Mm-hmm.
They have uncovered some of the which is called skeleton,
mm-hmm.
of some garden,
mm-hmm.
in excavation,
mm. wow.
In different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They have uncovered giant bones.
Wow.
And these bones, of course, are humanoid, but extremely tall.
Sure, sure.
So, yes, they have come to the surface.
Wow.
In the past. And you also have what mm-hmm. is called another... species of life
mm-hmm.
in your ocean,
mm-hmm.
and they are called merpeople.
Oh, right. Okay. Mermen, merwomen.
Mm-hmm. Merwomen, mm-hmm. mermen.
Mm-hmm.
And understand, they also have the capacity of telepathy. They also have the capacity to walk upon the land,
hmm.
such as their bodies. When they come out of the water, their fins mm-hmm. turn into feet.
Really?
And legs.
Fascinating.
And they're able to stay out of the water for a period of a week without being recalled into the ocean. So sometimes less, sometimes 5 days.
Uh-huh.
But they are able to come out of the water.
Wow.
And walk among you.
Wow, amazing.
And you have what you've had, what you would term as the different species, living among you.
Mm-hmm.
Some may be your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Some may be your bosses.
Mm-hmm.
In workplaces.
I think I met several people, actually, from the Inner Earth or Hollow Earth last week when I was at the Dominican Republic. There were several people.
You did indeed, and you came across a few merpeoples too.
Fascinating, because I was on a beach last week, and they seemed very enlightened, and the energy was very, very high. I wondered.
Indeed.
I wondered about them. Mm-hmm.
You saw a couple of the female species.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
They were mermaids.
Mermaids. Fascinating. Fascinating. That is just so fascinating. Zora, I wish I had a time machine and I could give us more time today. We've got about 20 seconds left, but I want to thank you so much for coming on today, and I want to give you the next 15 seconds or so to wrap up your beautiful interview.
Well, there's going to be a call tomorrow morning on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And that will be in regards to what is termed as the TDA. BZ Riger and myself.
Okay.
And of course,
I will post it on my website so people can look it up at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Zora, I'm so sorry we've run out of time, my friend, but thank you so much again today for coming on the air with me. You give such wonderful wisdom. I really appreciate you coming on today.
And remember also that you're all gods and goddesses,
okay,
and you are all healers as well.
Thank you, Zora.